Well, this morning we continue our sermon series entitled The Acts of the Holy Spirit. And we're in chapter 20, verses 13 through to 38, where Paul speaks truth to the elders in Ephesus. This is kind of a farewell message. It's the last chance Paul will have to speak with them. And you know, there's something uniquely powerful about farewell moments. When someone knows they won't see you again, they don't waste their words. They don't talk about the weather. They don't talk about the price of petrol. They speak from the heart. They say what matters most. They're deliberate. You know, I remember when my grandfather was dying and the family were all gathered as we huddled around his bedside. He didn't talk about his achievements. He didn't speak about the things he didn't do. He just spoke about the Lord. He spoke about grace. He spoke about forgiveness. He spoke about hope. The hope that he had is the hope that carried him through every season of life. And his final words, they weren't casual. They were the truth. The truth he believed. And you know, Acts 20 gives us a moment just like that. So turn with me back to the passage. Acts 20, 13 to 17. Paul here is traveling by sea. He's moving steadily towards Jerusalem. Luke tells us that while the others sailed from Troas to Assos, Paul, he went alone. Folks, Paul chose to walk alone. Perhaps it was to have time in prayer. Perhaps it was to prepare his heart for what was to come. Then they meet in Assos. They sail past several other places, then they arrive in Miletus. Paul avoids stopping at Ephesus. And the main reason is because he doesn't want to be delayed. He's determined to reach Jerusalem in time for Pentecost. But there is a problem, and the problem is that he loves the Ephesian church dearly. He can't pass without a word. So from Miletus, he sends for the elders, those he's trained and worked with, those he's prayed with, wept with, and served with for 3 years. And when they arrive, Paul gives them one final message, a final farewell to them. And in this final message, Paul shows us four marks, I think he shows us, four marks of a faithful servant of Christ. And these four marks make up the 4 points for us this morning. So let's look at the first of these. A faithful servant lives a transparent life. Turn with me to verses 18 to 21. We'll read from here. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to the Greeks, of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, this is not a customary farewell. It's not just a goodbye, see you later, take care. No, this farewell message was Paul's final, his final opportunity to speak truth to them. And Paul doesn't begin by listing his achievements. Instead, he does something different. He points them to his life. Look what he says there in verse 18. "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time." He lived his life amongst them. What you saw is what you got. And they saw his humility. They saw his hurt. They saw his heart. And they saw his tears. And they saw his trials. And they also saw his triumphs. Paul, you know, was humble enough not to need applause, honest enough to show his tears. He wasn't afraid to show the hurt that he suffered during the many trials that he faced. I guess his tears revealed a shepherd's heart, like a farmer who worries over his sheep. Paul's compassion was not theoretical, but deeply felt. You know, the church saw him. They saw him tired. They saw him pressured. They saw him opposed, yet trusted in God in the cracks. So I guess you could say Paul was maybe like a clay jar that still carried water even when it was chipped. Folks, make no mistake. Paul was the same man in public as he was in private. And like he says in verse 20, he taught in public and went from house to house. There was no split personality, no secret life. He was completely transparent. You know, this transparency made the gospel believable. His message was credible. The message of repentance and faith that he preached was the message in which he lived by. Repentance toward God and our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That was the message. And folks, this is the same call for us. We must preach repentance and faith in Jesus. Not to be impressive, but to be real. Not to show off, but to show Christ. Not to display strength, but display what it looks like to lean on Jesus. Don't hide your struggles. Let your honesty be a glimpse of the grace of God. A faithful servant lives openly, humbly, and consistently. And when people look at them, they see the unmistakable beauty of the Lord Jesus. And if Paul's life made the gospel visible, then it was his message that made the gospel visible. Unmistakable. Because transparency alone is not enough. Because even a kind atheist can be transparent. What set Paul apart was the life he lived was fixed to the truth that he proclaimed. The man they saw was shaped by the message he preached about. So having shown them his life, Paul now reminds them of his gospel. Folks, this is the truth he held fast to. Even when it cost him everything. Which leads us to the second point this morning. A faithful servant holds fast to the gospel. Verses 22 to 27 read, "And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there. Except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself. If only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." So Paul now moves from his transparent life to his unshakable message. Verse 22, Paul declares he's going to Jerusalem, constrained or compelled by the Spirit. The ESV states constrained. The NIV declares compelled. He felt compelled to go to Jerusalem, even though prison and problems awaited. Paul was not fazed by affliction. He was willing to lay down his life for his Lord. He felt compelled to go to Jerusalem, even though prisons and problems await. We people of Clay Cross, if you drive a car, the uproar about the traffic lights on the roundabout, so much so we go a different way. We go to avoid the traffic lights. Wow, Paul here is going to Jerusalem, even though prison and problems awaited. Even though he didn't know what lay ahead, he remained unmoved. He pressed on. And why did he press on? Because his life was anchored to something greater than comfort. You know, I love it how these things knit perfectly together. Tonight we're going to be looking at Psalm 16. However, verse 8 of Psalm 16 is relevant to Paul here. Paul could sing Psalm 16, verse 8, from his heart. Verse 8 reads, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Paul was adamant. He was going to testify to the gospel of God's grace. And in verse 27, Paul describes his ministry as declaring the whole counsel of God. He wasn't going to trim the truth just to make it easier, softer, or more acceptable. It's like a runner who refuses to stop mid-race to admire the beautiful scenery. Paul, he keeps his eyes fixed on the finish line, determined to complete the task. Folks, make no mistake, his courage comes from conviction. The gospel is worth suffering for, worth living for, worth dying for. One commentator said this, it's the truth he refuses to edit. It's the hope he refuses to hide. Paul's life is like a ship sailing into a storm with its sails set firmly on Christ. Not because the journey is safe, but because the destination is certain. And this challenges us. Well, I hope it does. Will we hold fast to the gospel with the same courage? In a world that's constantly looking to shrink our faith, will we stand tall and firm? That's the challenge, one of them, this morning. Folks, Jesus is not optional. He's the only choice. We can't afford to keep quiet. A faithful servant doesn't drift with the cultural tide. They plant their feet on the unchanging truth of the risen Christ with clarity, courage, and certainty. They speak of it in love and joy. But the gospel didn't just give Paul a message and a mission. It gave him a flock. Because he treasured the truth, he treasured the church that it created. And a servant who loves the gospel will always love the people shaped by it. So Paul moves from his own calling to the calling of the elders. He moves from what he must do to what they must now do. And as we see, his tone shifts from testimony to an urgent warning. Let's consider our third point this morning. A faithful servant protects the flock. Don't switch off if you think this is just for the elders, because there's definitely bits for you. So I'm keeping a beady eye. Verses 28 to 31. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which you obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease day or night or day, to admonish everyone with tears. Now, although Paul, as I've just said, is addressing the elders here, this warning is for all of us. Imagine that Paul is looking in the eyes, your eyes, as he gives you this warning. This charge he gives is one of the most solemn responsibilities in Scripture. We see it there in verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and all the flock. Why? Well, because the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church. Folks, Paul reminds them that the church is not their possession. It's God's. It was purchased by his precious blood. And therefore, it is infinitely precious. And he warns them that fierce wolves will come from outside and distort the truth. But worse still, some of these fierce wolves will come from within the church. They will rise up speaking twisted things to draw disciples to themselves. You know, it is a sobering thought that danger comes from outside, but deception comes from within. Paul's own example is striking. Look what he says there in verse 31. He reminds them, I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. Paul was like a shepherd watching over his sheep, knowing that a predator was near. Picture a shepherd in the Peak District who hears the rustling of the bracken at dusk. He doesn't shrug his shoulders. Well, I hope he doesn't. Shrug his shoulders and hopes for the best. No, what does he do? Usually they move towards the danger. Why? Because they want to see what it is. Because they want to protect the flock. Because the flock matters to them. The shepherd wants to protect them. That is Paul's heart here. And this is the call for us. To be a church that pays attention, prays, and protects. Folks, for leaders, it means guarding doctrine, unity, and their own hearts. But for every believer, it means refusing gossip, resisting false teaching, staying rooted in Scripture, and caring enough to speak truth in love. Folks, a faithful servant doesn't merely feed the flock, they protect it. Why? Because the one who bought it with his blood treasures it beyond measure. And Paul has shown these elders the weight of their calling to watch, to guard, to protect the flock Christ purchased with his own blood. But Paul knows that no elder nor believer can do this in their own strength. So, you know, after warning them, Paul points them to the one strong enough to hold them. He moves from risk to reliance, from their responsibility to God's sufficiency. As we move on to the fourth and final point this morning, we'll see that a faithful servant entrusts everything to God. A faithful servant entrusts everything to God. Look there at verses 32. Through to 38, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. So, you know, after the warnings comes some relief. Paul now speaks with real compassion. Verse 32 is one of the most hope-filled sentences in Acts 20. Paul says, now I commend to you, to God, and to the word of his grace. It's as if he's placing them into the hands of a father who never sleeps, never falters, and who never abandons his flock. Paul knows he will not see them again. His voice will fade. His presence will be gone. But, and it's an incredible hope-filled but, God's grace will remain. He reminds them that it's God's word that builds you up, not their strength. And he points them to the inheritance that waits all who belong to Christ. An inheritance not earned by effort, but secured by the blood of the Lamb. Then Paul holds out his own life as a final example. He coveted no one's silver, gold, or apparel. He worked with his own hands. He helped the weak. He gave to the poor. He lived generously. His life was a living echo of Jesus' words, "It is more blessed to give than receive." Picture a gardener planting seeds he knows he will never see fully grown. He entrusts the soil, the seasons, and the harvest of God. You know, that is Paul. And folks, that is the call for us. We must entrust everything to God. We must entrust our families, our church, our future, and our very lives. We must entrust everything into the hands of the God who is faithful. You know, a faithful servant doesn't cling tightly to control. They release everything. Folks, make no mistake, they give everything over to the God who never fails. And when we entrust our work to God, we discover freedom, joy, and generosity, which flows from knowing the outcome is in His hands, not ours. So look, as we draw to a close this morning, what can we learn from this passage? Well, as Acts 20 draws to a close, we see Paul kneeling in prayer with the elders, assumedly maybe by the beach, because they're about to get on the ship. But he's kneeling in prayer with them. And as they pray together, there is much weeping and embracing, for they know that this was to be their final moment together. And in this final encounter, Paul shows them what it is to be a faithful servant. And this morning, I hope we've examined these four marks together. Just to summarize, Paul firstly showed them that a faithful servant lives a transparent life, a life which is humble, honest, and consistent, where Christ is clearly seen. Secondly, Paul showed them that a faithful servant holds fast to the gospel. His heart is gripped to the gospel of God's grace. He refuses to dilute the truth. And although suffering loomed over his return to Jerusalem, what does Paul do? He remains faithful. He doesn't swerve or take a different route. Thirdly, Paul urged them to protect the flock, just like a faithful servant will. They must have a burden for the people, like a shepherd has for his sheep. Why? Because the flock of Christ is special, because they were bought with his own precious blood. Fourthly and finally, Paul said, a faithful servant entrusts everything to God. Paul only had eyes for God. He trusted him for everything. He was fully obedient. He trusted them, the church, into the hands of God and the word of his grace. You know, folks, it is worth noting, Paul is leaving, but the chief shepherd is not. Paul's voice will fade, but God's word will not. Paul's presence will go, but God's grace will remain. And that is the hope for every servant of Christ still today. We're not called to be impressive. We're just called to be faithful. That's the challenge for us this morning. May we live openly, boldly, lovingly. May we trust deeply so that when our race is done, when we've finished, when we've completed the task, those who knew us can say exactly what the Ephesian elders would have said to Paul. He pointed us to Jesus. So together, as a church united, my prayer this morning is that we will stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.